Psalm 139, verse 16. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect, and in thy book my members were written, which in countenance were fashioned, and as yet there were none.
Hi, out there. Let's look to the Lord, please. Heavenly Father, I thank you again for this day, for this body of Christ that is gathered here this morning gathered around your word. I thank you that your word is opened in this place. I thank you for our pastor, for his study. And Father, I just pray that you'd help me to present some thoughts from your word accurately this morning. And Father, I thank you for others here who have studied also and can also help guide. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So we've been, or I've been, and we've been looking at basically the books of God. Ken Palmer, being the engineer, software that he is, asked me, what would you title this, you know, these three short lessons? So, God's books. What books does he have? What books is he keeping? And then, what books are referenced and how are they used? last week, you know, we talked about even the fact that we have books, and you know, appreciate God working in the lives of his people, in the minds of his people long ago, to have a common language, to write that language down, to make an alphabet, to make words, to make meanings and definitions of those words. We shouldn't take that for granted, even in today's day and age. I mean, we were brought up in, or I was at least, in the English language, and never really think about it until, of course, we hear of missionaries, or I never thought of it quite, you know, the same way until I heard of missionaries who were dedicated, their life was dedicated to learn a language of a people still on this earth with the ultimate goal of presenting the gospel, of course, as soon as possible, but also to write that language down. And thousands, over 3,000 languages in the world today that are still not written down. So thank the Lord for the language that he gave his people. Jeff Yonke reminded me last week too of, you know, and we talked a little bit about how divisions can be made just over language, and how oftentimes when people might maybe who speak a different language are split for some reason, oftentimes that language gets changed over time between the two groups. Jeff reminded me of course, the Tower of Babel, and how it was the Lord who used language and confusion of language to actually split up the people into groups of people based on the language that all of a sudden they heard others speaking. They couldn't understand this language, but they could understand this one, and they grouped together, but God split them up. And of course, Satan can do the same thing. You know, the language, Hebrew language, was preserved and written, and then God's word, the scripture, was written and preserved in great, great detail over the years, and I'm thankful for it. In the Old Testament, there are 184 uses of the Hebrew word that is used for book. And we talked a little bit last week, you know, that books that are referred to in the Old Testament and even in the New Testament, in fact, by the times of the New Testament, there were more books and more records being kept. That just happens, you know, over time. But and of course, the books that are referred to in the Old Testament, there were books, book of prophecies that were written. Very important, and important to the whole, you know, if you might say, this story of the Bible are the genealogies that were recorded, a genealogical register. Oftentimes, book is referring to genealogies. There were books of law written. Of course, we know about the Ten Commandments that were written by the Lord, inscribed on tablets of stone. There were book of poems. There were books of kings. So kings, depending on, you know, their rule and their society that they set up, they kept chronological, just history books, history records, events that happened, books of kings. And then there is this record book of God that is kept, that is referred to in the Old Testament as well. And it's commonly referred to as this book of remembrance. So let's in some ways review and just look at again what is recorded in God's book of remembrance. Of course, Psalm 139 here refers to basically all of our faculties. In this verse, it's referred to as my substance, my members, my physical being. He knows every tiny little detail about me, and each detail is uniquely mine. You know, for years and years, we have systems, of course, to identify people, right? Someone might try to disguise themselves or do something, you know. Anyway, they may try to disguise themselves, but we've used fingerprints for years and years as an identifier. Even though they may try to change their appearance, they can't change their fingerprints. We know some people try. And then also retinal scanning. I don't know exactly, you know, what they actually look for, but that is supposed to be uniquely identifiable to one person. And then, of course, in recent years, DNA. The DNA train, which I can't even describe how long it is, and it is unique to each and every person. But God's knowledge of us, all of our faculties, all of our physical being, far more than even DNA. God knows every unique character, every unique, even physical attribute of ours. And when he sees each one, he knows who that belongs to. So God knows my substance and my members. And even here, he knows when they were fashioned. In thy book, all of them, he knew what day they should be fashioned and what day they change even. So he knows every tiny little physical detail about it. He knows our days. He knows our days that are recorded in his book. And that take place over time. And he knew it even before time. God knows our days. Also, previously in this chapter, we read of the Lord knowing our thoughts. He understands our thoughts afar off. He knows them. He knows what we're thinking about, even when we're idle. We may not be necessarily thinking about the Lord, but what do we think about? The Lord knows our thoughts afar off. And He knows our sins. He knows when we sin. He knows the days of our lives. And the sins are not just what we do, right? I mean, He knows what we think. He knows also what we don't do that could also be a sin. We don't do what is right. We don't, we may not, I may not speak when I should speak of God's truth. So the Lord knows our sins, and again, not just our actions, but the sins that we think about, and perhaps thankfully that we don't do, or things that we should do and we don't. And those are also sins. So the Lord knows every detail about us, not just our physical being, but our life and our thoughts and our intents, our motives, the intents of our heart. Let's turn to Psalm. What else is written in this book of remembrance? What's another thing that is referred to in God's word and is written in this book of remembrance? Let's turn to Psalm 56 and verse 8. So here it says, "Thou tellest my wanderings, put thou my tears into thy bottle, are they not in thy book?" So this tears into a bottle. So the Lord knows our sufferings and our afflictions. He knows what we're concerned about, what, of course, I might even worry about, even though I shouldn't. I know that. But what's weighing on my mind? What burden am I carrying? What am I suffering through? What are my afflictions? And the psalmist here writes that, "Put thou my tears into thy bottle." And this is a reference in the times of the Old Testament when someone was ill or in great distress as a sign of concern for that person. The friends who would go to see him would take what's referred to as a tear bottle with them, and whether it was actual tear, and I mean there are tears, or more of a symbolic gesture, but they, even these friends, would capture some of that person's tears in a bottle and seal it and remember that friend. They were caught in these bottles, sealed up and preserved as a memorial of that event and that time. And this is what the Lord does for us too. So He knows all of our afflictions, our cares, our concerns, the burdens that we bear. And it says here, "Are they not written in thy book?" Basically a rhetorical question. Of course they are. The Lord knows and has recorded and written in His book all of these things. So we can be assured that the Lord knows our afflictions and our sufferings. You know, I mentioned worry I should have thought of a different word for it, but I think about the future. Of course, I'm getting older now, and I thank the Lord for what He's done in my life. But so Violet and I got to spend some time with our family yesterday. Thankfully, Pat and Vi were there, our children and our grandchildren, and very, of course, encouraging time. Thankful for the homes that my grandchildren are being brought up in. Violet and I pray for each of these homes constantly. But, of course, then I see what's happening in the world around us, and knowing how labels are being placed on people these days. You know, I heard this week of, you know, a certain group of people being identified as the greatest threat to democracy these days. I'm not even going to put a label on it myself, but I belong to that group. And there's this whole other group of people out there who think that I'm, because I think a certain way, that now I'm the threat to democracy. And then I think of, mentioned it before, about the internet and how the internet, based on what I do out there, I have a label on me. And I can be identified by this trail of evidence that is out there on the internet. And I see our society just, you know, of course, breaking up into smaller and smaller, more divisive groups. And then I think of my grandchildren. So this weighs on my mind. And the Lord knows about these things. And thank the Lord that through the years, through history of the Bible, through all of these difficult times, and times in the Old Testament so much more difficult, of course, than what we're facing today. But there was always a remnant that was kept that feared Him. We've read it before, but in Malachi chapter 3 and verse 16, and we know of the spiritual condition of those times. But it is written there, "Then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it. And a book of remembrance was written before Him for them that feared the Lord and that thought upon His name." So there's a book being kept for the Lord of those. Considering the times of Malachi, spiritually much more difficult than what we face today. Thank the Lord for this church. Thank the Lord for our country, where at least in writing and in principle we have freedom of religion still. Although we are being separated out more and more, but the Lord knows about that. So in this book of remembrance, the Lord knows those who speak often to one another, who fear Him and edify and build each other up. So that's another piece of evidence that is placed in this book of remembrance for those that fear the Lord. I think it's interesting that, you know, understanding the times of Malachi didn't have God's word themselves to carry around with them like we have now. But even during those times, that the people who are, we could say, of like precious faith can find each other. They can still find each other in those conditions. Then those that feared the Lord. So the Lord brought them together, didn't leave them alone. they could find others that feared the Lord. And then, so we can be assured that no matter what circumstances we face, that the Lord will keep us together and that we will have a remnant. We can still be part of the remnant, of a remnant. We can find people of like precious faith. Then it says, then they spoke often one to another. You know, thank the Lord for the time that we live in now, right? We have this religious freedom in this country. We have a church, Salem Bible Church. It's proclaimed, you know, to our community. It's we meet openly and unoppressed. Thank the Lord for that. But, you know, even then, even with this, and thank the Lord for the teaching that we have, but do we speak often one to another? I think it's amazing how complicated Satan can make even a simple concept. You know, I think of I'm still working, and sometimes it you know it's very, very demanding. I have my own family. I have, you know, my own adult children now with families of their own and grandchildren, you know, that of course need my time. I have my home life, my finances that I need to take care of. So what I'm pointing out is that I can be involved with so many things that are necessary, and but do I still have time to speak to each other, you know, to other Christians, to speak to them in a way that is honoring and glorifying to them? I'll just keep speaking. Yeah. And each time we do that, you know, we're getting together just to visit, to find out, you know, what's going on in each other's lives. And then we encourage each other to know that God is writing those times down in a book of remembrance. So somewhat in review, you know, and we get together with believers, with others, not to complain, not to lament, although oftentimes, you know, we're rehearsing the events or the conditions of the day. We can't help sometimes but lament, but then in the end, I need to remember in the end to encourage and to edify, to build up each other. We don't leave each other in a complaining or lamenting frame of mind. We encourage, we edify, and we build up each other. So I've also referred to Revelation 20 and verse 12. Where, of course, there's a specific event, the final judgment being spoken of there, but then I am focusing on these books that were opened and another book, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged out of those books that were written according to their works. And I'm going to focus on here according to their works. So our works and what we have done is also recorded in this book of remembrance. My sins are in this book. The Lord knows those sins. And they are recorded in the book. So we have, of course, the Lord is faithful to record those things in the book of remembrance, these times of encouragement. The Lord knows all of our ways, and He knows our sins, and these sins are recorded in a book. Of course, in this verse here, there are two main books that are referred to here. And this book called the Book of Life. And as I was speaking to Jeff again last week, Jeff Yonke, that Book of Life being opened and a name is my name in that Book of Life. So that is a record of names. It's a roll. It's a register. It's a list of names of the Book of Life. So we have this book of remembrance where all details of our life, of our body, of everything we've done is recorded, and we have this register, this book of life. And when that book is opened, looking for a name, and whoever's name is in that book of life belongs to the Lord. In Luke chapter 10 and verse 20, nineteen and twenty. Just speaking of the importance of this book of life. I give unto you power to tread on serpents, scorpions, and all over the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Notwithstanding, in this rejoice not, that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. So even though these had all of these special power given unto them, power over the enemy, nothing could hurt them. But don't rejoice in those things, even though those are so needed and important for today's life. Don't rejoice in that. Rejoice in the fact that your name is written in the book of heaven, written in heaven. So our names are written in this book. And of course, we have this book of remembrance. And when these books are opened, there are two things that are needed. Number one, our name needs to be in the book of life. And number two, the sins that are recorded in the book of remembrance must be paid for. Sin cannot be presented in any way before a holy God. So our sins must be blotted out. When that book is opened, God cannot look at sin in any way. So there is this concept of blotting out of sins in God's Word. So this document, this book of remembrance, and a blotting out of sins. You know, I think of today and some of the documents that are important that are in the news today, or thinking of when, you know, our government says that they are going to be transparent, so they go and make a record public, but then they redact all of these statements. You know, so how really, of course, how transparent are they being when they redact certain things? So when I think of my sins being blotted out of the book, sometimes I have that picture in my mind of this redacting. And although that may be a picture, a mind picture of what's happened, it's still not a good analogy, because when we redact a document today, that also means that we still have the original, that someone still knows what was originally on that page, on that document. And yet we know that when my sins are blotted out of, that they are completely gone. They are erased forever. Acts chapter 3 and verse 19 says, "Repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord." So my sins can be blotted out. And it says, repent therefore and be converted, be turned around, that my sins can be blotted out. So, and the definition of blotted out here is to wipe away, to obliterate, to erase, to wipe out, to blot out. So it's not just, you know, there's not a line through that sin where you can still see it. There's a completely blotting out, gone forever, obliterated, erased, completely erased. No original document remains, just this one and blotted out, and this blotting out. Colossians 2, chapter 2, verses 13 and 14. "And you being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven all trespasses, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to the cross." So these sins that were written, as Pastor has been teaching on Sunday evenings, they have been paid for in full. So in order for sins to be blotted out completely, what needs to happen? Before a holy God, sins must be paid for by a sacrifice of blood. We know the sacrifices that were offered in the Old Testament, a lamb being slain and blood being shed. But now for us, in this time, during the New Testament, we know that Christ is the Lamb of God, and that his shed blood on the cross of Calvary pays for our sins. As Pastor said, when Christ said on the cross, "It is finished," the payment has been made in full. And this handwriting of ordinances that was against us was nailed to the cross, and the Lord finished the work of paying for those sins. And his shed blood is what gives us the authority or the position of having our sins blotted out. So when we stand before the Lord, we need two things. We cannot present sin, and we need our names written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And how is that accomplished for us today? Thank the Lord, even though we have this book of remembrance, and without Christ, we would stand there condemned, and nothing on our own that we can do on our own, no matter how much good we do, we cannot blot out any of those sins. We can't cover it with better actions, more impactful good things that we might do. But these sins must be blotted out, and they must be paid for before a holy God. And of course, in our day, in this time, the sacrifice is Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God. So what do we have to do to have our sins forgiven? We know that we have all sinned. There are none that are sinless. Romans 3:23 says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." So we're helpless on our own. And we have earned death, for the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So thankfully, when we believe in Jesus Christ, we believe that Christ is God's Son, that He is the payment, the final payment for our sins. And we accept His blood shed on the cross of Calvary as the payment. Then our sins are blotted out, and we know that our names are written in the book of life. So, that was a little short, but that's what I have for today. Any comments? Anything to add? Anything come to other people's minds when considering these things? Anything that should be corrected that I may have said? Yeah.
I think the reflection in that Psalm 24 verses reflect upon the omniscience of God. God knows all things. Mm. And the book she's referring to is a book that God has a record for us. And we know there's two judgments. The Bible says, great white throne judgment and the Bema Seat. The Bema Seat is for believers to let us be aware of what we could have done. But we are in heaven because of God's sin. Mm-hmm. Great white throne judgment is for all those that are not in the book of life, that are going to be reflected their judgment before Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And the dead in Christ will know that they're in heaven, and the dead that are not in Christ will be in hell.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of a division.
Mm-hmm.
I think it kind of goes back to Psalm 139, God also is the beginning from the end. And that also is only present, He's an active person. And He is here with us today.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I think God has a plan in all of this in the beginning. God's word tells us that God's word has been important to believe.
Yeah. The concept of books and referring to books and records and everything else is for us, is for our mind. God doesn't need the book to remember, but the book is needed for us to know what God is keeping and how it is used, you know, in the future. Two judgments, and that's why I wanted to focus on the books, not, you know, the two judgments that are coming for believers and for non-believers. But in this study, I was just focusing on the book. Now, one thing I didn't quite figure out, and hopefully I will, or get at least gain some more insight into, is the Book of Life. Because it talks in some verses about blotting out of the Book of Life. So, and even in the Old Testament, in some of these other records that are referred to, there were blotting out of the book of the righteous, and that was in for those days. So I didn't fully, I couldn't fully develop that concept and fully understand when my name is put into that book and then into the Book of Life, and then is it blotted out? So I just want you all to know that there's, you know, it's incredible when I try to study something. And then I was telling Mike this morning, sometimes I raise more questions than I answer. But, you know, and that's no excuse, and it's just a reason to keep going and to keep studying and digging. And then even, you know, I look into a few things and I read some commentaries. But what do you do if you don't understand the commentaries? You know, then anyway, it gets difficult and confusing sometimes.
You know that for a believer, once you're born again, you accepted Christ for your Savior, recognizing that I am the cross for my sins, you are accepting that instead of the sins. I don't, I can't understand why it got to the Book of Life. I think, in my mind, if you're in the Book of Life, if you're saved, and we can't lose our salvation.
Right. No.
I don't know how to explain that to yourself.
Right, and I'm not suggesting that someone can be saved and then lose it. That is not the point at all, or my confusion. I know that. Yeah. But either way, I know my name is in that book. I know when he opens it, he will find my name. And thank the Lord for that. Thank the Lord for that. Mike?
For me, the big takeaway from thinking about this is that God keeps track, or God's aware of every one of our thoughts, every one of our decisions, every one of our actions. So verses that tell us to work out our salvation, fear and trembling, it's either the Lord hidden to you, etc., are well founded. But it's helpful to think about the fact that if God is watching all that we do, and he's merciful and gracious and long-suffering and patient, but it warrants praying for everything and anything.
Mm-hmm.
But when we're faced with decision not to be hasty.
Mm-hmm.
When we're faced with a reaction, trying to be hasty, all of those things that we better on, you know, might regret. It's just a good
thing. You know, yeah. And I, you know, unfortunately for me and for us, my sin isn't over. You know, I mean, thank the Lord. Each time I go to him, he does forgive. and he will continue to blot those sins out. Yes?
Our sins were forgiven. They're nailed to the cross, right?
All of them. The ones that we... Right. Thank you, everyone. Let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, I thank you again for this time. Father, I thank you for being able to speak to one another, to speak to each other often, to have the purpose and the desire to build each other up. Father, keep us together. Keep those who fear the Lord together. I know you will. And keep us ever mindful and pressing on and being faithful to speak to one another and encourage and edify each other. And I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.